Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Colin Trevorrow, who wrote and directed Jurassic World. Hi, Colin.
Hello.
So my first question is, how did you get this job? It just seems awesome, and everybody would want it, and it's amazing. How did you get up for this gig, or was it your idea?
No, I had directed a movie called Safety Not Guaranteed, which is a very small film.
So funny.
Thank you. And I was, looking to do another film that was maybe slightly larger, and then a film after that, and build my craft and my voice and all the things that are, I think, required of filmmakers. And Frank Marshall gave me a call and told me that he had this dinosaur movie that they were looking to make, and asked if I would come and talk to him and Stephen about it. And I did, and I believe it or not, I didn't immediately say yes, of course I'll do that. I had a big question, which is, what is this movie about? Why are we making this movie? And I care, I care a lot about these films that I watched when I was young, and feel kind of protective of them. And so we talked about that, and I ultimately found some themes and some reasons why this could and should exist. And only then did I say, okay, well, I will accept this responsibility, this huge responsibility, and make this film with you.
They probably love that, because it seems like if you're not asking that question, that's just seems to me where you have to start when you.
It is well, with the story in writing anything, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, well, why are you writing this movie? What is this about? What does it mean to you? Mm-hmm. And I think that applies to all films, even things that are meant to just be thrill rides, or could be as simple as that. And, Jurassic Park is more than just a thrill ride. That movie is about, not just, man's, use of nature for his hubris, but it's about us, and it's about our humility in the face of these animals that existed on the planet far longer than we did.
I love that part of it. I really connected to that. How do you set the tone as far as just watching it? When I'm watching it, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how would I write this? How would I write all this action, and these stakes are life and death, and then you get the joke in there. When's the right time for the joke? Or is that tough to do, or is that something that you have mapped out in advance?
It's something that is a challenge that I have put to myself, both in this movie and in Safety Not Guaranteed. And Derek and I, as writers, are very interested in pushing the limits of how many different, tones and genres can coexist in one movie. Safety Not Guaranteed, I would probably describe as a science fiction, romantic, mystery comedy. Mm-hmm. And this would be a science fiction, romantic adventure, comedy, terror, thriller. And these are a lot of different plates to spin, as far as constructing a story. And, we used our own instincts and tried to find a balance. And actually a bit of that comes out in the editing room, as you are moving through something. If something feels like the characters don't recognize the level of terror or peril that they should be in, and they're doing something funny, then, that has to go. Mm-hmm. And be very judicious and hard on ourselves, to the point of borderline abuse when it comes to writers and the self-flagellation that we go through as writers.
Is that just an instinct that you develop over time, or do you have someone that advises you, or can you say, hey, what do you think about this? I'm not sure.
I have a storytelling confidence that I try not to allow to devolve into arrogance. And yet I very much knew how I wanted this to be, and I knew how I wanted Safety to be, and these are all very instinct based processes, the writing of these films, and that that came down to this being a screenwriting podcast. I think we should talk about it. It came down to looking at the screenplay that existed when I came in, and recognizing that I didn't know how to direct that movie. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was about, and that's not I don't I think it's important to point out that's not a disrespect to those writers or even the writers that came before them. And this movie had a series of very talented Oscar-winning, in certain cases, writers that worked on it. And I think, you know, screenplays, especially movies like this, it's a bit of a, the right person at the right time kind of thing. I think Jurassic Park was the right storyteller at the right time with Steven Spielberg. And so, you know, I think part of it was just, you know, putting this movie at this moment in time in front of two writers like Derek and I, we know this. We just knew how to do it. And it turned into the movie that you saw. You've seen this movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw it last night. I loved it.
I'm not just talking.
No. Are you kidding? I'm so excited because I love Jurassic Park, the first one. And, I mean, who wouldn't want to see it? Amazing.
I would hope so. I mean, I can only hope. I would not be so presumptuous to assume everybody wants to see it. Please come see it.
Well, speaking of that, is there a pressure where you like, oh, what are the fans? Because you have all these fans and you sort of have to deliver something, but you want it to be surprising. How do you balance that?
Well, I think, you know, I sort of had to take some bullets to a certain extent in order to keep the surprises because, you know, for example, the idea that you would have a raptor trainer and people are going to assume that the raptors are going to be nice buddies the whole time, you know, and I knew that we were creating a scenario where we had predator and prey and we had relationships that were going to be tested, you know, between man and animal.
That's awesome that you did that.
Thank you. And I love the way it plays in the movie, but it certainly doesn't play out the way that it's suggested when you see a guy with a bunch of raptor buddies. That's not exactly what it is. And yet in order to keep that surprise, I had to let people think that's what it was or else I would ruin it. And so there's a little bit of, you know, just taking a couple hits for your story in order to maintain the sense of discovery.
How do you deal with notes just from a beginner's point of view if somebody wants to do this and you know how hard it is when you start writing and you're getting notes from people?
Yeah.
How do you incorporate those or do you have a technique?
I try to find the spirit of the note. In this particular case, we didn't receive notes from the studio, and I was given a ton of creative freedom on this movie to the point where I feel fair, I feel safe in saying, you know, if you don't like this movie, you can blame Derek and I, and if you like it, you can blame a lot of people. They should all get credit, but it would be unfair to blame anyone else. We are responsible, and yet, you know, Steven Spielberg gave us notes,
was that intimidating?
It was intimidating, and at times it was frustrating because we thought we had done something good, and he would say, you know, like rethink what you think is is working right now, and look at it from through a different lens. And I, you know, he is not only adept at knowing what the audience wants to see and feel at all times, he's able to turn into an audience member instantaneously and put himself in the theater and turn off all of the filmmaking parts of his mind, and then he's able to like move to the next seat and be that audience member, and then it gets very deep in what he's capable of doing.
Is that how he gives notes, just verbally and say, hey, I think about this? Or
we would have story meetings sometimes in the room, sometimes on the phone, and they would all be transcribed, so we would be able to look back and read over what everybody said afterwards and really think about it. And his notes, they would often, he would never say, go do this. He would say, you know, rethink this thing you're doing here and maybe do something that can accomplish this feeling, make people feel this way. And then he would allow us to go and figure out how to do it. And that's a certain amount of freedom as well. Cause you know, a lot of studio situations, they'll say, yeah, you know, why don't you go ahead and make her wear a red hat? And that, you know,
that happened a lot.
The hat is blue. In this case, it didn't happen at all. We did not receive studio notes.
But on other films, that's typical. Well, where you're getting
not literally in. That, but I know those notes exist. Mm-hmm. Remember, I've only done this once before, so like I don't have a rich history of this. And but I've been a writer in the studio system for a long time, and I've received notes from producers and from the studio, and always. You know, always the goal is to find the spirit of the note and try to put yourself in their shoes. And, you know, I think empathy is important with people and it's important in work and for you to be able to sit on their side of the table and think for a second, well, you know, what is their intention? Even if they don't have an answer, what is the question they're asking? And can I find an answer that will satisfy this, but be in the form that makes me comfortable as a writer?
How do you, with your, so you wrote this with someone else, what's the process? Are you in the room together? Or do you write one scene and then he edits that scene or vice versa, or just to describe what it's like.
What Derek, you know, and
for
I do.
The, for the new beginner out there.
Yeah, and you know, there is no right or wrong way to do it. And there's a lot of people who sit at dueling computers and go back and forth, or, you know, the old, like they're in the 30s with typewriters in the writer's room, and others do it differently. Derek and I have always worked in a very specific way, in that I will write an outline and structure a movie and then send that outline to him, and he would write a first draft of a screenplay and then send that back to me, and I would do a pass over that draft and then it just starts going back much, much quicker. And you know, our skill sets lie in different areas, and I think that's why we're a great team, and that I'm, you know, very much a what happens kind of writer, and he's a very much how it happens kind of writer. And so I can say, you know, I can look at the draft and say, all right, we're going to need to move this scene here. We're going to need a scene where this happens and a scene where this happens. And how he writes that scene is often inspired and brilliant. And, you know, in the end, you know, the dialogue tends to be about 50-50, but all the best stuff is his.
Oh, you're so nice. How long does that take? Like, how long do you spend on the outline? How long do you spend?
It depends on the movie. You know, this particular thing, I wrote an outline extremely quickly because we were in a very strange scenario where I came in and there was already an office full of people who were working, and they had, you know, designs laid out and storyboards were
they're
beginning.
Staring at you like, finish.
Yeah, and they were doing it off of this other script that I knew I wasn't going to make. So I said, everything we're doing is going to stop. Derek and I are going to write a new movie. It's going to be about something else and with different characters we're going to still keep these three fundamental ideas that were Steven Spielberg's, which is there's going to be a functioning park. There's going to be a raptor trainer who can communicate with the animals, and there's going to be this dinosaur that gets free and tries to kill everybody.
All three awesome ideas,
and but also, you know, a little crazy and a little weird, and things that, you know, they could be terrible. And those are my favorite kinds of ideas: is things that could be terrible, but if you do them right, they're like transcendent and great. And so while we were in this hotel, you know, writing the movie, you know, I would come home at night and write, and by day I was there actually, you know, storyboarding out the sequences and designing the movie that we were writing.
Oh my gosh.
As it was happening. It was extremely stressful. Barely. But not for that first period. We wrote it in 3 weeks.
Oh,
and we presented it to Steve, because the dynamic was, I was saying, look, we have to make a different movie about a different thing. And he was like, well, great. We've been trying to do this for 10 years. So you go write your different movie. And let's see what happens. And so we did. And it was really more, it was a trial by fire, and it was us sort of proving to him there was another story that we could tell that would be, that could also be Jurassic Park 4.
So you did the outlining and the full draft and the rewriting in 3 weeks?
Not the rewriting. I did an outline very quickly. I kind of woke up at 4 a.m. because I was on East Coast time, and I was like, here's a new movie. This is what it is. And then we wrote in those 3 weeks. The rewriting, we actually had some time because he got the draft and he said, you know what, this could actually be really good. Let's make this movie next year, and let's work on this script now.
Oh,
and so then we had several months to hone it and really turn
but
it
you guys
into
really hit it out of the park though with that outline. Like, that was your ticket into this.
We bought ourselves the opportunity to make a movie.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'd love to talk to you for your next ginormous movie, which I'm sure
or might be
one.
Very small
or
very
a small movie.
Yes.
I'm sure there'll be one soon. And thank you.
All right,
really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
All right.